Hi, I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic. Room's a little bigger from up here. All right. My sobriety date's December 25th. You guys are killing me. My sobriety date is December 25th, 2007. I have a home group, which is the Melville Group in Long Island, New York. I have a sponsor. I attempt to sponsor other men to the best of my ability. I say that because it's supposed to be important to me, and I try to make it. I'll start from the beginning. I grew up in an alcoholic household. My dad drank. It was pretty normal on a holiday to wake up the next day with some like household appliance broken or a hole in the wall. But usually by that afternoon, my dad had either replaced it or repaired it, so like everything was fine. And that's like the first time where I first got like my education on like how you fix things when you drink. You just pay for them, you know, or you say you're sorry and you cover it up with some spackle. And I tried that for a while. And that's, you know, that was an early age I saw that. And it didn't seem crazy to me. Like, my dad would come home from work, have a few drinks, have dinner, and then pass out on the couch. I thought he was just sleeping. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, enough scotch, you're out at 7 o'clock. And that just went on. You know, my dad was physically abusive to my mother, to my sister. You know, I really didn't catch any of it because I didn't get in the middle. And I remember one of my friends said one time that his parents didn't fight, and I was like, so what do they do? You know, because like that's what my parents did, is like they fought about me, my sister, bills, each other, and that's just what they did. And then we would have a family party, and we would dress real nice, and everything was fine for like 3 hours. And then we'd get in the car, and my mother and father would be fighting. And I didn't realize it all kind of stemmed back to my dad's alcoholism throughout, you know, with his attitude and just his way of not really dealing with any of us. And, you know, I have two immigrant parents, so, like, social, like, adaption really wasn't taught to me. I was, like, the fat, smelly kid with bad hygiene. it was pretty rough. And, you know, I had something in second grade called Bell's palsy where I had nerve damage on the left side of my face that was permanent, so it all, like, drooped down. So, like, I'm this fat kid with, like, a disformed face and, like, all this stuff. And I didn't really have low self-esteem. I just didn't have any, you know. And I just kind of went through life just like, all right, I suck. I know where I'm at, you know. Like, there was no lying at that point because I was like, yeah, I'm pretty terrible. God, that's just how it kind of went. Like, I remember hearing kids talking about, like, hanging out with their friends on the weekend. And I was like, yeah, I sat in the basement with my video games, and it was awesome. You know, and that was just comfortable for me. I couldn't handle talking to people at a young age. And, which is funny, because I don't shut up now. You know, this is great. I have 15 minutes where Terry can't tell me to shut up right now. This is, I'm enjoying this. So, it's just kind of how, like, my childhood went. And somewhere around high school, middle school, I lost some weight. I started playing sports. And I found a way to, like, socialize. I had something in common with other people for once. But even then, you know, even, like, I didn't feel like I belonged. I made the cut of the team, but I still felt like a fake. You know, I was still waiting for them to, like, yeah, now, Joe, you got to leave. And it just kept going on like that. My parents got divorced when I was in high school, which was awesome for me because at 16, my dad would leave the house at 6 a.m., come home at 6 p.m. Nobody knew what the hell I did all day. And I kind of had free reign. And it was, at the beginning of the end, actually happened pretty quick. You know, I didn't realize I was a daily drinker in high school. You know, and I didn't realize that blacking out was something that alcoholics do. Like, normal people just don't black out every time or constantly or, you know, every other day. And it just kept getting more and more often. You know, I remember my 21st birthday, I'm at the liquor store, and I go to the guy. I'm like, yo, ID me. And he looks at my ID, he goes, you're 21 now? You know, I'd been there for, like, the last 5 years with my braces, somehow buying liquor. I had a beard at, like, 13, so it was really easy. But, you know, I remember I'm, like, 18, I'm about 20, 19, 20, whatever. I'm working at Best Buy, and I'm on my 9th final warning for attendance, right? Like, how do you get 9 final warnings? I work my ass off when I'm late, right? So my boss pulls me in the room, and he's like, Joe... He's like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, so don't do it. What's the problem? And he's like, but every time you show up 10 or 15 minutes late, you make me look like an asshole. And I'm like, so stop scheduling me at 11. Like, that was my logic. It was like, you need to change the way you run your business. 11 is way too early for me. You know?
this.
It was like years later I told somebody that story. They're like, stop scheduling me at 11, the ball's on you. And I was just like, it didn't even seem crazy. Like, I said it. I went. He looks at me, passes me the paper. He's like, just sign this. And, you know, I had another job, and I was making a couple bucks, and I wore a suit to work, and it seemed like it was okay to everybody. In the inside, I wanted to die. You know, I wasn't suicidal, but I really didn't care if I woke up in the morning. And it just went on and on. I'm going to kind of fast forward. You know, I'm going to spare you guys most of a drunk log. I was coming home from a bar on May 14th of 2006, the night before Mother's Day, and I come around a bend, and next thing I know, my windshield's broken. And my friends in the car are panicking, you know, what did we hit? What's going on? And my friend that's in the passenger seat, he's like, don't stop, you're drunk, let's get out of here. And we get to my house, my friends leave, pull my car in my garage, and my buddy's like, you know, I think we hit someone, and I just didn't want to know. You know, and we pulled my car in my garage, went inside, went to sleep. A few hours later, cops are at my door. You know, I hit someone that was walking, and the guy died on impact. And, you know, as more time goes by, I have a harder time talking about it because I can't understand the life I was living. You know, and that could have happened a million times before that. You know, yeah. I remember getting bailed out and being in my living room and my whole family's there and they're like, so what do you need? You know, what can we do for you? And I'm like fighting these words from coming out and I'm like, I just got to stop drinking. And they're like, what else? I'm like, nope, pretty sure that's it. I'm like, that's the problem here. And they're like, all right. And I white knuckle it for a little while I'm on trial. And one of my friends ODs and dies. And I talked to a friend about this story today. Is here's my progression, right? He ODs and dies. I'm at his wake. We go out to a bar afterwards. Someone, they're all doing shots for him. Like, let's have a shot for Zach. I'm like, let me have one. And I have one. And I put it down. I'm like, see? Got it. And I went home. Next day, I went to the funeral. Had two beers. Fine. Went to a ball game that night. Had eight beers. Took the wrong train home. My girlfriend picked me up somewhere. But that's my progression. Like, one, two, eight. You know, like, there's no, like, oh, you know, some time's gone by. I think I figured out how to drink now. You know, and this went on a few times, you know. And the crazy thing is, like, everybody in the world is telling me, do not drink, right? Like, I'm on trial. They have all these things. I'm facing, like, 15 years. All this crazy crap. And it just keeps happening. You know, and I can't understand why. Like, I'm like, I should know this by now. And, you know, I end up going to jail. And I'm not drinking in jail. And I get out, and one of the guys there was like, you know, you're gonna drink tonight, right? I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't sure. I had no urge. And I ended up at a bar. And I got drunk, and I woke up with a hangover. And it was like the first hangover I had in like 10 years. Because I usually would just wake up drunk still and keep drinking. And I was like, this sucks. And then the guilt, shame, and remorse of like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I should have been excited yesterday. Like, it was my time to start my life over, and I'm doing the same thing. So, my dad's got my whole family's pretty spiritual, and they got, like, this spiritual healer guy, right? They're like, go talk to him. Maybe he can help you. I'm like, okay. So I tell this guy my whole life story. And normally, when I get to some things, people show a little tact. This guy's just dropping his jaw the whole time. You know, like, whoa. And I'm like, all right, thanks. not embarrassed, you know. And at the end, he looks at me, and he's like, don't drink. And I'm like, that's your answer. Bro, like, I got issues. Like, come on, help me out here. I just told you some heavy stuff. And he looks at me, and he goes, I know a lot of people that have had worse lives than you. They stop drinking, they ask God for help, and their lives get better. I don't know why the hell I believe this. And I did. That was the last time I had a drink. That's not my sobriety date, because I thought pot didn't count for a little. And which it does, if you're wondering. so, let me fast forward again. You know, AA was not exactly the thing I wanted to jump into. I had to go to outpatient, and I was pissed I was there because I was like 3 months of white-knuckling, and I thought I was cured. And they're like, nah, you need help. And I was like, well, I heard you guys have like a 90-day program. They're like, we're going to suggest a six-month intensive. And I'm like, why? And they're like, you've been to two other rehabs before, and you have new drug and alcohol-related charges. You might have an issue. I'm like, but I'm good right now. They're like, yeah, right now. And I got real fortunate. I had a counselor that was in program. And I would go to him with these crazy thoughts I was having, and he would say, go to meetings. And I'm like, what's that going to do? He's like, just go to meetings. And I said, why do I need meetings, man? I'm like, I have like all this terrible stuff that I've done before to keep me sober and all this other. And he said, look, one day it's not going to matter. And a drink's going to seem like a better idea. And I was like, flawed. I was like, what do you mean? That's like my whole plan. It's like, I screwed up bad. I remember that, so I don't drink anymore. And he's like, no. And, you know, being in program a few years now, I've seen that for other people that, you know, it doesn't matter sometimes if we don't stay spiritually healthy. You know, I'm really only good as my last meeting. And, you know, sobriety's been a, it's been a ride. I've been dead broke. I've lost my dream job. You know, I've done everything possible that I thought was stupid and non-sober, and somehow maintained. You know, I've gotten, you know, say a life beyond my wildest dreams is pretty easy for me to say. Because, like, my wildest dreams were, like, I get up and I don't drink or drug. You know, like, that blows my mind. Like, the fact that, like, I get up without anybody waking me up anymore or trying to, like, get me to come conscious again, you know, that I get dressed and I shower and I shave and I just do these basic things is mind-boggling to me. Because, like, drinking, I get fired from Best Buy, right? Like, I can't hold a $10-an-hour retail job. You know, sober, I run a pretty successful business, which is so confusing. You know, like, I'll be in front of my some of the people that work for me, in my head, I'm like, I can't believe you assholes listen to me. Like, if you only knew. And it's just, it's all a direct relation to AA. You know, like, AA taught me just how to be a basic human being. You know, how to show up, how to have a conversation, you know, how not to insult people. You know, I just had no social filter. It was just bad. And, you know, I've grown up in AA. I really believe in the whole, the age you start using is the age you stop maturing. And I was about 13 when I got here. And I was petrified. And I couldn't hold my head up. And the last thing I was going to do was shake anybody's hand. And, you know, it took me, I didn't get my first coin to my second anniversary. Because I was so afraid to say anything in a meeting for the first year, year and a half. And, sobriety's meant more to me than anything I could have ever imagined. And I'm a big believer that, like, everything goes back to it. You know, the better I work my program, the better person I am with my family and my friends. You know, the better I work a program, the more accountable I am just at my job. You know, when I fall off the AA beam, I procrastinate, I'm miserable, I'm this horrible person. But when I'm working my program, I love life. And a friend of mine said to me one time, he's like, you know, I don't do this stuff so I'm an A+ AA student. He goes, I do it so I'm happy. And, like, that made sense to me. Because, like, the rebel inside of me sees, like, somebody who's like, oh, I made it through my steps in 60 days. I'm, like, fucking overachiever. You know? You know, but the sober person in me says, wow, you must really want to, you know, want a great life. You know, you want to be happy. That's awesome. And I envy that. You know, it's funny. Alcoholics are the only people that will, like, kind of shit on someone for having a higher bottom than them. Right? Like, oh, you smartened up too soon. You know, like, I was really dumb. Let me tell you how dumb I was. Let me hit. If you're a real alcoholic, you've gone through this. And it's just, I got to remind myself, is, you know what, man? I should be jealous. You know, if you've gone through less shit, you're just a little smarter than me. That's all it is. You know, I'll end with this. I was talking to an old sponsor of mine today, and talking about, like, what made us stop. And I was like, man, I was just exhausted. You know, at the end, drinking was more work than being sober. You know, and that's really it. Like, I spent more hours a day getting drunk, getting messed up. I spent about an hour a day going to a meeting, you know, another maybe hour a day on the phone with some other alcoholics. It's a lot less work, you know. But in my head, I'm like, ooh, I got to turn my will over. You know, I got to ask for help. You know, I don't know if I can do all that. And AA is the easier, softer way. And it's a pleasure being here tonight. Thank you.